Good morning. It's a pleasure to be in your presence and in our Lord's presence as always as we worship our Lord this 15th day of January of 2023. And we pray that as we listen to a message from God's word that you will be enlightened and encouraged as I direct your thoughts and point out those things which are spiritual, which are God's truths that will help us as we worship our Lord and think about the things that our God has done for us. And you're probably wondering why I'm up here. For the visitors or guests, my name is Brother Zach Teasley. I'm one of the elders here. Our brother, dear brother Obed, is suffering from some upper respiratory conditions right now, and so his ability to articulate and coughing a lot, and so we wanted to give him the ability to be able to recover and deal with his ailments and not having to be a distraction as he attempted to preach the word. So I'm filling in for him in so many words. So I thank you for that opportunity. And we'll have a Brother Phil is going to bring the lesson tonight, and we look forward to always hearing from our Brother Phil as he brings us more truths from God's word. Turning your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Joshua chapter 1, 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, and to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In line with the Great Commission to focus on seeking and saving the lost, we possess and develop the courage to step forward and to present or speak God's word to souls that need to hear it. We must prepare and equip ourselves to spread and to sow the seed of the kingdom at any given moment in time. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us to always be ready to give a ready answer of the hope that is within us. So I titled my lesson this morning, Possessing the Courage to Step Forward. And I'm highlighting Joshua as an example of courage and bravery that we should emulate and that we should strive to develop and that quality as well in our repertoire as we live our Christian life. So in order to successfully and consistently do this, regardless of the situation, we must have courage and be strong in like manner as our servant and leader Joshua displayed throughout his lifespan, especially after he took the reins from Moses right before Moses died. This morning, I would like to focus our attention on Joshua from the Old Testament and the book of Joshua primarily. Let's examine how he possessed such great amount of courage and how his courage motivated and led him to do extraordinary work for the Lord in leading the Jewish nation, God's people, in first conquering their enemies and afterwards settling the 12 tribes in the land of Canaan, which was a land of promise to them by God. We will consider how, while discussing Joshua's life, that there were some key ingredients that fueled his courage to step forward. So, if you don't remember anything about this lesson this morning, I want you to remember verse 9 of Joshua chapter 1. It says, I have commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is with us every step of the way. If you ask God, if we ask our Lord, and he already has, to meet us halfway, he's already there before we even think about it. He's already there with us. So we must possess the courage as Christians to be able to act and to move forward and to prove our faith by action. In order, in accordance with Webster's dictionary definition of the word courage, it is the quality of mind which meets danger or opposition with intrepidity, calmness, and firmness, the quality of being fearless, bravery. It's okay to be afraid, but this is a natural defense mechanism we possess in our bodies. We must not allow fear to stymie us, to paralyze us from taking action, for taking the appropriate action and doing the Lord's will, whether it's just telling someone that we meet at a gas station while we do what we do, while we're Christians, and what we stand for as children of God. According to Oxford Dictionary, there's another definition I want to give you. Courage is defined as the ability to do something that frightens one, strength in the face of pain or grief. So when it's going tough, we as Christians should possess the faith to get going, to act, and not be afraid to speak out or to act for the Lord. Two other synonyms come to mind, which are bravery and confidence. As I alluded to earlier, you can still be afraid, though, and still have confidence to act, and this can motivate us to focus more clearly. So what I'm saying is, whenever we get ready to do something very important, it's natural for our bodies to be fearful or to have some concern about what we're doing. It's our body revving up and getting ready to act, to do something that's important. But if the fear is going to prevent us from properly giving the appropriate effort, that's where we're lacking. That's what we're trying to overcome with the Lord's help. So we need to strive to overcome that fear with our faith in God and being able to act on His behalf. During His inaugural address in 1933, I'm going way back here, Roosevelt made a profound statement regarding fear. So this is an excerpt that I took from the Britannica Encyclopedia online. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief self, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. Now, one example I'm gonna bring up very briefly here. I want this to help frame our minds and motivate us to think about what courage is. Mindful of the Allied invasion in Normandy in World War II, and everybody knows if you are a history buff, or if you've been on this earth a little while. Now I know hopefully the youngsters are talking about. But the U.S. went and joined forces with the Allied forces in World War II, and they were going on Normandy Beach, and they were facing tremendous assault, tremendous artillery fire. They were faced up against. Those soldiers moved on. They moved forward, and many of those soldiers lost their lives before they even got out of those boats that they were riding on to get on shore. Died immediately once they hit the shore. Some of them died in the water. And I could go on and on about just talking about the bravery that these men exhibited. What caused them to act and to have that motivation to go and do that? What was the driving force that motivated them? Courage is what it was. Were they afraid? Yes, they were. It was a courage that allowed them to give their life for this country. And we as Christians should be willing to give our lives for Christ, for God, and our walk with Him until He comes back. So let's look at Joshua, who possessed a tremendous amount of courage and was encouraged by his parents, by other religious leaders, by Moses, and especially Jehovah God Himself, to be strong and of good courage. And we've read already Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And I highlighted verse 9. I'm going to read it again. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord has the ability to deliver on every promise, and he already has, and He's going to deliver on that promise of eternal life if we live a faithful life unto death. So going back to Joshua's upbringing, he grew up his first 40 years in Egypt in service to God before the Jewish Exodus and after the Jews left Egypt. Let's go to in the Old Testament to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. So just once Joshua was involved as a young man in service to the Lord. Joshua was also a warrior who fought for God and Israel in the wilderness on Exodus chapter 17. 9. Exodus 17, verses 8 and 9. Exodus 17, 8 and 9. And Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose up some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with a rod in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the mountain. So again, just a small sampling to show that, he did fight. Drop down to verses 13 and 14. Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. So we can see that Joshua was instrumental in the defeat of Amalek and his valor. He showed that courage from a tribe of Ephraim. And we see here that the Lord and Moses showed confidence in Saul. Joshua is called Moses' assistant, and he went with Moses up on the mountain to visit with God, who gave Moses and the people the law and the commandments. Let's go to Exodus 4, 12 and 13. Exodus 24, verses 12 and 13. And the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has difficulty, let him go with them. So, again, I'm showing you that Joshua was called Moses' assistant, and he served great honor at a young age. Another very strong demonstration of Joshua's courage and strong faith in God was when Joshua and Caleb were among the 12 spies of Israel who were sent to spy out the land of Canaan to see what the climate and the people were like who lived there. On return, the 10 spies were intimidated and gave an unfavorable report because they lacked the faith and courage. Only 2 spies, Joshua and Caleb, gave a positive, favorable report that they could conquer and take the land with God's help. They understood the power of God, and they were willing to step out. Let's go to Numbers chapter 14, Numbers 14, 6 through 9. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Now, if you read in chapter 13, towards the tail end of chapter 13, and we read that, you can see the bad report that the 10 spies gave, and they were saying that there were giants in the land. The sons in verses 31 through 33 of chapter 13 in Numbers, it says, but the men who had gone up with them said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they spied out. The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. So we were in their sight. So they were afraid. They didn't have the faith necessary. They didn't have the courage that was required. But Joshua and Caleb understood who God was. And that's the key to our Christianity and to our faith. Learning who God is, using his word to increase our faith, so that we can understand who our Lord really is and what he's capable of doing. That's the key to our success as Christians. Also, as God's validation of Joshua's courage, back to Joshua and his courage and leadership qualities, he officially selects and ordains Joshua as Moses' successor upon Moses' death. And we are still in the book of Numbers. If you're still there, go to Numbers 27, Numbers chapter 27, verses 18 through 23. And the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of Urim. And at his word they shall come in, he and all the children of Israel with him, and all the congregation." So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So we see that the Lord had faith and confidence in Joshua because of the proof that he showed by his actions. He was obedient, and he had courage, he had confidence in the Lord, and he acted on it. A common statement of encouragement you will see and read and study in Joshua that Moses, and especially God, told Joshua to remind him of their support was to be strong. This is what Jehovah God told Joshua, that he told Moses to tell Joshua, to be strong and of good courage. Again, I'm going to, in like manner, to me, to you as Christians, we need to be strong and of good courage. We need to have faith and confidence in our Lord. In Moses' farewell address in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verses 7 and 8, let's go there. Deuteronomy 31. Verses 7 and 8. Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to the fathers to give them. And you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be." The same statement can be read and understood and applied to every Christian in this room this morning is to be strong and of good courage, and not to forget that the Lord is with us and will not forsake us if we are faithful, if we are striving to do the Lord's will, if we are proving that by our actions. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. I want to read it again for emphasis sake, because I think it's so important. Joshua 1, 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land upon I have given you. And as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, strong and of good courage, for to this people, and you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and of good courage, that you may have commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand, or to the look of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but that you meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way proper. Not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Pretty straightforward. And we see how many times Jehovah God emphasized to Joshua to be strong and of good courage and not to forget. Now, it is something that boggles the human mind how often we forget about our Lord, how often we forget about his presence in our lives, that he is there. He said he's promised, just as he promised Joshua, the same promise goes to you and me. And that so often we get out into the world and we get distracted by the world and we allow those things to take our focus off of God. And we forget. And when we need to act, when we need to stand up and resist temptation, when we need to stand up and tell someone about God and about our walk with God, you know, we buckle and we hesitate and we balk at it. Now, y'all know that I'm a sports buff. I would say something about balking. You know, there's a pitcher that throws a pitch. He's getting ready to throw the pitch. He winds up. He gets ready to throw it, and he stops in mid-throw. He stops, and he pulls it back. That's a balk. We can't balk at Christianity. We can't balk at preaching and teaching and sharing God's word. It's something that we should be ready to do, and we should deliver that pitch with confidence. Now, in verse 5, is again the key point, as God told Joshua in the same manner as I was with Moses, I shall be with you, I will not leave you. Yet God is with us, so we just need to go with God, because we can't be afraid to speak and tell the people we come in contact with, our visitors this morning, don't be afraid to tell them what you know. Step out on faith and have confidence in God's word. We're not going to have the Bible memorized right up here. And then I've known some men that I've seen articulate God's word, just recall it from memory. It takes a lot of time. If we desire more knowledge to be able to recall scripture in that manner, let's put in the dedication, let's put in the time to study and prayer and daily study. If we want to be able to recall, as 1 Peter 3:15 tells us. Three times in chapter 1 of Joshua, in verses 6 and 7 and in verse 9, God states, "Be strong and of good courage." And also again in verse 18, "Only be strong and of good courage." Later in chapter 3 of Joshua, God demonstrated his support to Joshua by separating the waters of the Jordan River, so the Israelites could pass through the on dry land into the promised land. Another example of God's support and Joshua's courage was the conquest of Jericho, the first conquest in Canaan. Let's go to, if we're in the book of Joshua, turn to chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, we're starting at verse 17. A city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, and it is all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Verses dropping down to verses 20 and 21. So the people shouted with the priests, blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both men and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, and with the edge of the sword. So it took some courage to be able to carry out this feat, to go around, circle around the walls of Jericho six times, and then seven times on the seventh day, and to follow these instructions. So Joshua was led the Israelites successfully in that conflict. They also ran into adversity and setbacks because of Achan's sin before they attacked the city of Ai. This sin led to God's anger and their crushing defeat at Ai. Let's go to Joshua chapter 7. Let's look at verse 1, chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, so that the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Dropping down to verses 4 and 5. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. In this scenario, the Jews got overconfident. That's something that we can do as well. We need to be careful that we're not complacent with the Lord, and we don't take him for granted. And so that is a danger that they ran into, a problem that they ran into, Joshua did. Joshua and the children of Israel were able to overcome some difficult odds. The teaming up or the joining of forces of five different kingdoms who attacked the Israelite army, we can read about that. I know time is going away from us here. Joshua chapter 10, verses 5 through 10, there were five different kingdoms that joined forces to attack Joshua. The group of enemies were defeated as they fled from the Israelites. So the Lord, again, Joshua them and his army didn't flinch. They had the courage and the bravery necessary to realize God was with them. And if you read in that chapter, you see that the Lord killed the rest of the fleeing army with a hailstorm. So during the conquest of the northern territory, a whole lot of nations throughout that region joined forces in an attempt to defeat and wipe out the Jews. Go to Joshua chapter 11. Then I'll close here. Joshua chapter 11, verses 4 through 7. Joshua 11, 4 through 7. So when they went out, they and all their armies with them, as many people as could stand, as the sand that is on the seashore, a multitude with very many horses and chariots, and with all these kings, had met together. They came and camped together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. But the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time I will deliver all of them slain before Israel. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua and all the people of war with him came against them suddenly by the waters of Merom, and they attacked them. We'll stop right there. So we see that the key to the whole thing, church, is us having the necessary faith in God, and not just faith only, but the courage and the bravery to act, understanding who God is. God can deliver on all the promises he already has, and he will in the future. So we have to have the faith necessary to believe God, act on it, just like Abraham believed God and it was accounted and reckoned to him for righteousness. Now Moses, not Moses, but Abraham left his home, and, you know, he didn't question God. He got up and left. And we have to have the same confidence in God as Christians, as a church, and have to remember that God is with us, and we need to be of good courage and remember the scripture. I'm going to leave you with Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 is the last scripture I'm going to mention. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So I leave you with what God told Joshua. I'm going to leave you with this statement. Have I not commanded you, be strong? Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Lord God is with you wherever you go. So the Lord God is with us. And if we are subject to the invitation this morning, we invite you to come. We must hear the gospel. We must believe. We must repent of our sins. We must confess Christ to be the Son of the living God. And we must be buried in the watery grave of baptism to be added, to have our sins washed away and forgiven, and to be added into God's kingdom. If you're here and you are a member of the Lord's body, his church that he died for, and there's something that you need to repent of, or you need to ask for the prayers for the church, and for any reason, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.